Costa. Phil Neville makes the tackle. Rui Costa! Oh! Portugal have scored! Rui Costa!
Welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reginald Dino. In this week's show, we're going to run down the biggest games, well, the two biggest games in Europe, I believe, as far as the leagues that we cover. We're going to talk about Man United and Tottenham, how that shook out. We're also going to be talking about AC Milan Roma. Are there problems at Roma? Mourinho's not getting the results that he probably promised Roma. So we'll dip into a little bit of about that. We'll spend most of the time talking about Africa Cup of Nations, which started on Sunday. I have a couple of things to say about that. If we have time, we'll do our Ajax watch. We haven't done that in a while. There's some news that came out of England as well, as far as financial responsibility issues between two teams in the EPL. And believe it or not, I don't know if you'll be shocked by this, but Manchester City and Chelsea weren't either one of the two teams. I mean, I'm shocked. Like, how do they get away with it again? Who knows? How big does that bribe have to be? And also, there was another award given out to certain players. The best 11 was announced, I think, last night or this morning or this afternoon. I believe we'll run down the major winners in there. You'll be shocked to find out who won best male player of the year. You'll be shocked, because I was. But we'll start off in the Ivory Coast, West Africa. Ghana's brother, Ghana's neighbor. We'll start off in Ivory Coast, the biggest tournament coming out of the African continent. Africa Cup of Nations kicked off on Sunday. I had high hopes for Ghana. I don't know. They play Egypt on Wednesday, I believe, in a couple of days. If they play the same way that they played, it's going to be a slaughterhouse. It's going to be a slaughtering. So, but we'll we'll get into it right now. We'll run down for those of you that aren't aware. This is how the group shook out. So in Group A, you have Ivory Coast and Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea and Guinea-Bissau, Egypt, Ghana, Cape Verde, and Mozambique in Group B. Group C, Senegal, Cameroon, Guinea, and the Gambia. In Group D, you have Algeria, Burkina Faso, Mauritania, Angola. That they round up Group D. Group E, Tunisia, Mali, South Africa, and Namibia. And to round off the final group, we have Morocco, Congo, Zambia, and Tanzania. So if you're a neutral, don't really know anything about these countries, know a couple of Nigerian players, know a couple of players from Ivory Coast, follow Mohamed Kudus and Thomas Partey in the EPL. So you figure, okay, so you're going to tell me that these are the teams that are going to come out of each group. You're going to tell me Ivory Coast and Nigeria. You're going to tell me Egypt and Ghana. You're going to tell me Senegal and Cameroon. You're going to tell me Algeria and maybe Angola come out of this group. You're going to tell me Tunisia and maybe South Africa come out of this group. And you're going to tell me Morocco and maybe Zambia come out of this group. But don't sleep on Mali, actually. They were in the under 17 or under 20 World Cup, and they put in a pretty respectable showing there. So they've got some kids coming up too, so I wouldn't be surprised if you know, they make it deep into this tournament. But the way it started off for the big guns, if you want to call them the big guns, Nigeria tied Equatorial Guinea 1-1. Apparently I didn't see the game. I was out buying a waffle maker. Equatorial Guinea, apparently Osimhen missed chance after chance. He scored, but he missed chance after chance after chance. So that probably, sight unseen, is shocking. But if by what all the accounts are, how many chances he missed are, well, if he puts away half of them, it's a blowout, right? So that was a little bit of a shocking result. Just this morning, Senegal played Gambia. As you would expect, 3-0, Senegal wins. That's what you would expect. Mozambique, Egypt, you'd expect Egypt to run over them. 2-2, late penalty scored by Mohamed Salah. So they were down for the majority of the game as well. And then the shock of all shocks, if you're sitting here watching it or sitting here of Ghanaian descent and watching this game, it was disgusting to watch. It was disgusting to watch. Now, before we get into that, Cameroon played, Cameroon played Guinea today, 1-1 draw. I watched the second half of that. Cameroon was all over. Guinea got a red card in the first half, and Cameroon was all over them. They just couldn't score. But going back to Ghana against Cape Verde, you want to blame the players, you can blame the players if you want. I'm not a player blamer, okay? I'm a coach blamer, a manager blamer, okay? And I know we always talk about you got to give these guys time to settle in and get it done. I get it, but this is not day in, day out, every day you're training with the same guys, which I guess kind of makes it harder. You're not training with the same guys day in, day out, but the leash of success is way shorter than if you're a club manager. Look at Erik ten Hag and Man United. He's gonna get 2-3 years to fix that. When you're playing national games where you're together maybe 3-4 times a year, you have to get results. Ghana went to the United States and played Mexico in the USA, didn't score a goal. Got slaughtered by the USA and got slaughtered by Mexico. It didn't look good at all. And our players were there. Thomas Partey was there. Mohamed Kudus was there. The Ayew brothers were there. Well, Andre wasn't there, but who cares? He's 82 years old. Still the captain, still playing 90 minutes. Chris Hughton came in. He came in, I mean, two, three years ago, came in as, I think, technical director. They got rid of the coach and he took over. A failed coach, by the way. Coached Newcastle, Birmingham City, Nottingham Forest, fired. And we brought him in to be the coach. He probably appointed himself after he fired the coach. He probably appointed himself to the coaching role. If he was sitting here right now, I would look at him and I would say, how are you going to sit there and play? And again, if you don't know the players, you don't know the players. There's not much I can really tell you. But if you watch EPL, you know some of the players I'm going to talk about. Mohamed Kudus was injured, so he didn't play. So that's a big loss. But how are you going to play on Jordan Ayew, 87 minutes? If you think that he is going to be the guy that's going to, you know, make something happen so that we get a goal somehow or something, creates a chance or something, okay. But after they scored the second goal, you substituted him. 87th minute. So for 87 minutes, he was the guy that we're going to need to have to get a goal. And then when they score and we actually do need a goal, you take him off. How Inaki Williams isn't starting on this team, I don't know. How Bukari is not starting on this team, I don't know. Some of the selection issues he has created for himself are head-scratching. Again, we go back to when they were in the United States. Slaughtering. You guys think I'm joking? I don't even remember. I know they lost one of the games 4-0. I know they did. I can't remember. Maybe they lost both of them 4-0. I can't remember, but I know they lost one of them 4-0. And it's one of those things where you don't see Ghana that much living here. You don't see a lot of their games. So if they're playing, rush home to watch it. What am I rushing home for this for? Looking at him on the sideline, Chris Hughton, I'm talking about, the manager, the manager of Ghana, looking at him on the sideline, he looks lost, confused. What's going on? None of my tactics that got me fired at other jobs are working. What's going on? Again, I don't know who you get, but this is not the guy. how Andre Ayew is playing 90 minutes and his brother is playing 87, 85. How? Jordan Ayew should be coming off the bench. There are better players on the bench. Daniel Amarty didn't even play. I'm not sure if he's injured. I got the injury report before the tournament. He wasn't on it, so I don't know why he didn't play. If it wasn't for our goalie, and if you guys can go back and watch the game, I think they're on BN Sports. They show replays. Go back and watch it. If it wasn't for the goalie, probably would have lost 5-1. If it wasn't for our goalie, we probably would have lost 5-1. The amount of one-on-ones he saved, he's the man of the match. And listen, I know everybody wants to be sexy coach. Everybody wants to be the sexy coach. Oh, we're going to play a 4-2-1-8-17-42. Hut. Everybody wants to do that. But if you have a group of players who will thrive and be successful in the most basic formation, play that formation. It doesn't have to be a 4-2-3-1 inverted this. It doesn't. Everybody, you don't need that. It doesn't have to be that. We're going to invert the goalie to come in and blah, 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 Guardiola speak. Who cares? You don't need it. If you have to play 4-4-2, play 4-4-2. The tried and true 4-4-2. I know everybody, but it's evolving. Football's evolving. We got to do this. We got technical. We got this. We got cameras, drones, blah. If you don't have the players to play that style, and you don't play that style, play a 4-4-2. I'd rather them play a 4-4-2 than what they're doing now, because it's not working. In the last three games, Ghana have played, they scored one goal. And I don't know if you guys are up on it or you watched other World Cups and other Africa Cup of Nations. Obviously, I watch Ghana play. If you're not Ghanaian, you probably don't. I get it, but scoring goals was never a problem. Never a problem for this country. Never. The midfield was probably one of the best midfields that you've never seen. When you're talking about Steven Appiah and Essien and Suleiman Tari, that's probably one of the best midfielders in that World Cup. Sammy Kufuor at the back, John Mensah at the back beside him. John Pencil on the wing. Those teams were fantastic. And to watch what's happening with this Ghana national team now is no thank you. No thank you. And if this is because of Chris Houghton, then he has to leave after this tournament. Because if I see the exact same thing I saw on Sunday, on Wednesday, we're done. We're done. That's it. Two losses and we're over. And it's over for us. So I don't know. Maybe he drinks some elixir and ideas come to him. And, you know, we do something fantastic against Egypt. Personally, I don't see it happening. Maybe Mohamed Kudus comes back from injury that game. Maybe he starts Inaki Williams up top. I don't know. Maybe he switches the formation around. I don't know. But something has to happen, because I've watched the last three games. It's always the same and it does not work. Wednesday, Ghana, Egypt. Thursday, Ivory Coast, Nigeria. Those are two of the biggest games of the tournament of the week. We will be in hand we will be at home to watch both of those games. So hopefully this guy is able to figure it out. But like I said, if it's anything like it, I saw on Sunday, and I don't have any faith in him at all. So maybe the best thing is to go out early in this tournament and get rid of this guy, but who knows? Another big game on the weekend. Roma, AC Milan taking this game. At the San Siro, 3-1. What's going on at Roma? Has Jose Mourinho Worn out is welcome. I think so. Names being bandied about for even the Napoli job, names being bandied about is people are talking about bringing back Antonio Conte. Again, who else is out there? Maybe they take a run at Thiago Motta, who's running Bologna right now, who has them either fifth or fourth in Serie A. No one saw that coming. So maybe he's the next big thing in Italy. Who knows? But I think Mourinho's days are done or numbered, closer to done than not. But another poor performance by Roma, flicking back and forth between the Ghana Cape Verde game and the AC Roma game. So I don't know. I don't know what Roma's going to do there. Again, who's available? AC Milan rolling, Inter rolling, Juventus rolling. The big top teams are where they should be, except for Roma and Napoli. So I believe those are the two teams in the Serie A that will have a coaching change very, very soon. Another big game, and oh, shout out to Pioli. Nice coach. Hey, come coach Ghana. We wear Puma too, so it's all good. Another big game over the weekend. We had the, this is the first time I was privy to watch Timo Werner, who came back to the EPL. It's so funny. You look at Chris Hughton, you look at Timo Werner. These guys are getting chance after chance after chance after they failed. I don't wish on anyone's downfall, but I don't know what you're going to get different from before. If you failed once and you haven't got it the second time, maybe this isn't for you. And if you fail the third and fourth time, who's the fool? The one who hires them or the manager or the player? So Timo Werner gets another shot in England. Played at Red Bull Leipzig. Shooting the lights out there. Decided to make his move to Chelsea. Flopped at Chelsea. Went back to Leipzig. Flopped there. Came back. Now he's back with Tottenham. It's perfect mix, actually. Played over the weekend against Man United. I don't know. I don't know. Normal Tottenham performance. Normal Tottenham player, I guess. I don't know. But if you listen to the pundits now, after the draw at Old Trafford, you would hear Spurs are now a title contender. I guess based on points they are, but every time you talk about Spurs and Newcastle, the second thing out of everybody's mouth is, yeah, but we got injuries. Well, the first thing out of everybody's mouth is, yeah, we got injuries. Got injuries. So Heung-min Son is away at the Asia Cup. And that's another thing. I was talking to someone yesterday over WhatsApp, and we were talking about Africa Cup of Nations. I love you. I love you. I'll always watch. I'll always support. But you can't play this tournament. You can't play this tournament now. You can't play it in January. You cannot play it in January. Asia Cup 2. All the Asian teams. You can't play your tournament in January. Africa Cup of Nations every 2 years in January. You need to work out a schedule where you can make it at the same, if it's the same year as Euro or same time as Euro or Copa America, whatever tournament it is, and the Asian Cup as well. You got to put it in the summer. I know it's hot. I was just in Ghana in June. It's hot. I get it. But you have to make some concessions as far as getting cooling, like what Qatar did, getting cooling stations in the stadiums and extra water breaks or something. But you can't play this tournament in January. there was a lot of African players have played in EPL and Germany and all these other leagues, but some transfers didn't happen because teams didn't want, I can't take more than four African players because in January they're all gone. Look at Chelsea when they were playing. They had Didier Drogba, they had Michael Essien and John Obi Mikel. Those are three starters gone for a month in the EPL when Sir Alex Ferguson, Arsene Wenger have those big teams too. I remember some teams they can't take them. I can't have five guys gone from my team. I can't. So I can't buy him. It's okay maybe if you have, like, it's okay for Liverpool. They got one. Arsenal, they have one. You know, you can't have more than three major African players on your team because every 2 years in January, they're out. And this is January, right after the Christmas break. So, anyways, getting back to this guy, average player. Spurs are title contenders now that they drew with Man United at Old Trafford. I think my Friday night team, I can't say that. We'd get slaughtered. Just not fit enough. But the football, if we were fit, we'd probably give them a game. But they're contenders now that they beat Manchester United, I guess. But again, based on points, I guess they are. But if you can see Tottenham Hotspurs winning the EPL championship, I'll buy every one of you dinner. Okay? Doubt it. So we'll go to the transfer. That was a transfer that Tottenham made. It's really, really, really slow in the transfer market. I never see anything done early. I don't think in the last three or four windows anything has really been done early. I wish my team would do things early because by the time the transfer window's open, we've probably played three games. You know, depending on what those results are, maybe we could have used a player that we get in the end of the window. Still looking for a striker. Ivan Toney's been ruled out. They're still talking about Dusan Vlahovic. He's not coming. I can tell you that. They were after some guy in Spain. He's not coming. I can tell you that. A very interesting thing came out of Newcastle. Apparently, Newcastle is lacking funds for some reason. I don't know. They just got bought out by a Saudi prince, I thought, but they're looking to recoup some funds as well. So they might be willing to part with Alexander Isak or Isak, depending on how you pronounce it and where you're from. So he might be on the market and on the move. Now, depending on what Newcastle wants for him, that is a player I would love to see on Arsenal. We were in the talks with Real Sociedad before he moved to Newcastle. I don't know what happened. Talks broke down. He signed with Newcastle. You need to get that guy out of the Geordie Shore and bring him to London. So we'll keep an eye on that because we definitely do need a striker. We do play this Saturday or Sunday, Nottingham Forest. Or no, we play Crystal Palace. I'm sorry. We play Crystal Palace. You know, and there's a team there. How many? Well, actually, no, they don't have a lot of Africans, I don't think. A lot of black players, not a lot of African players. So we play them on Saturday or Sunday, so we'll see what we need out of that. But, I mean, I can't even remember the last game Arsenal played. Oh, Liverpool. That was FA Cup. Who cares? The game before that, I don't even remember. So I know we probably didn't score, so we're going to need some help in the transfer window. But if Isak's available, that's someone you go after. Everton has said, and it's Sean Dyche, the coach, has come out and said, Onana, the midfielder Onana, Amadou Onana, he's not for sale. But if the right price came through, we definitely look at it. What that right price is, I don't know. They paid $33 million for him from Lille, I believe, 2 years ago, year ago. So they'll probably want to recoup that and more. So I'm thinking in and around the 60, 65 million mark. And who did Arsenal pay 65 million for in the summer? And now you're telling me we don't have any money? Anyways, so Onana, Isak, you bring in those two. I know it's wishful thinking and all of that. You bring in those two, you probably change your fortunes as far as Arsenal are concerned. The only bad thing about it is Isak will be cup tied as far as Champions League goes, because he played for Newcastle in the Champions League before they finished last in their group. So he won't be able to play in the Champions League. But, you know, at the stage where Arsenal are at, they don't have the ability to fight on all fronts. You have to pick one. You're going to win the league or you're going to try to win the Champions League. It's great that we're in the knockout stage, but I can't see Arsenal winning the Champions League, in all honesty. If you want me to be honest, I don't. Not with the team that they have right now and what other teams in the tournament have. The Real Madrids and the Man Cities and those teams. I don't know. Can you imagine Vinicius Jr. up against Zinchenko? Oh. Or Ben White? Oh my God. Speaking of Real Madrid, sorry, one more thing in the transfer window. Speaking of Real Madrid, Karim Benzema might be able to go out on loan in the winter from his whatever Saudi team he's playing for. So Arsenal are looking at bringing Benzema in as well. I believe he's in his just before his mid-30s, maybe 32, 33 years old. I don't know how that would work out for us, but proven goal scorer, knows the right areas to get into. Maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't. Who knows? So this morning I was watching, let's start off with the best 11. We won't go through the best 11. Usual suspects, 6 players from Man City, 8 players from Liverpool, 52 players from Barcelona. Yeah, we get it. There's only 3 teams in the world. We get it. So the usual suspects are there. I'm trying to remember who won other awards. I'm not even going to tell you who won the best male player of the year. If it's based on the 22-23 season, I mean, if winning the World Cup gets you every single individual award, all right, then I guess that's what it is. For me, and it's shocking that you're going to hear this from me, but for me, get this fool off the screen. Oops. For me, Erling Haaland should have won that award. Won the treble, Champions League winner, scored like 55 goals in all competitions. Those are numbers. Those are not normal numbers you're putting up. If Lionel Messi or Ronaldo did this, your heads would explode. But he lost out to Lionel Messi, best player of the world again for the 22-23 season. Other than the World Cup, Copa America, I get it. Those are big, big tournaments. But, I mean, if that's all it is, just win the World Cup and win Copa and that's it. Well, what about the rest of the year? That's only 12 games of the year. What about the rest of the year? I'm not a Messi hater. Just, I don't know why he won the award again. And Messi lovers out there, oh, you hate Messi, you don't know, blah, blah, blah. You're right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. But there's other players out there that I think were more deserving. And I've just rattled off Haaland's year that year, which was a fantastic year. It seemed like he scored every time, 50 appearances, 52 goals or something like that. not playing in whatever league you think is garbage, but playing in the Premier League doing that, scoring in Champions League's games. So anyways, whatever. It's just my opinion. Erling Haaland should have won. Messi won. Best goalie, Ederson. Best coach. This is the male side. Who do you think? The genius, the Spaniard who reinvented football. He won coach of the year. So I guess they didn't want to make it a clean sweep for Man City. So they gave one of the awards to Messi. But go look online for the full 11. I think it was Messi and six players from Man City. One of them was Kyle Walker. Unreal. I think John Stones made it. Who else was on that team? Ederson, obviously. Haaland made it. Kevin De Bruyne made it. Bernardo Silva made it. I get it. They're good players, but best 11 in the world? Bernardo Silva? Very good player, but I don't know, man. I think Jude Bellingham made it too, I think. I have to look. I glanced at it quickly and then I saw the names. The women's side, we had a couple of players from Arsenal from the women's side. I think Alessia Russo made it as well. Bonmati from Spain and Barcelona, she won for the women's, the best player. She won the World Cup and she won her league and she won the Copa del Rey for women and she won a ton of things. I should have pulled up her stats, actually, see what she goals and assists and all that stuff too. So well, I think this is the last individual trophy that Lionel Messi will win. But stranger things have happened now that he's playing in the MLS. Unless he scores 100 goals, well, I guess he could still. Well, no, there's no. Oh, yeah, there is Copa. So maybe he can win Copa this year. Copa America in Texas, by the way, or wherever the hell it is in the United States. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. How did the USA get Copa America? How did they get to host Copa America? Someone explain this to me. I know it's money, I get it, but it still should be. Listen, you guys have your whatever tournament you guys have in America, you have it there. Copa America, South America, we'll have it in South America. You know, Africa Cup of Nations, it's in Africa. European Championships, it's in Europe. How does the USA even bid and get Copa America to be played in the United States? Why though? I know how, but why? I don't understand. I don't get it. Big games coming up this week. As far as Africa Cup of Nations goes, the best two games of the week, I think, well, one for sure, Nigeria, Ivory Coast will be very entertaining to watch. Again, if Ghana plays the same way they played on Sunday, that game, that TV is going to be off in by halftime. Back to work. EPL for some teams resumes this week. EPL did. I think this is the first year, maybe the second year. I've never noticed this, but they give a certain amount. I think they give half the teams 2 weeks off in the beginning January, because they played all through Christmas, right, the hectic period through Christmas. They give the first 2 weeks off to half the teams. And then the second part of the month, they give the other half of the teams 2 weeks off. So Arsenal had 2 weeks off and they're coming back and playing on Saturday or Sunday. And then the teams that were playing, like Chelsea, Tottenham, Man United, Man City, now they have their 2 week break and they're all going to their warm weather training. I've never noticed that. I don't know if that's something new. I should know. I'm watching EPL, I should know, but that's the first time I've really. Maybe they did it last year, and I just didn't realize. But so they're coming back this week. So there's going to be games. I think Arsenal, the only team in the top five that's playing this weekend is going to be Arsenal. Haven't really looked at games coming up in Serie A or Bundesliga, so or La Liga. So we'll take a look at that, and then we'll recap it next show. But guys, as usual, as we end the show, if you haven't subscribed, subscribe. It's free. You can subscribe on all the platforms that we have here. We're on YouTube, obviously. You're watching Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Music, Instagram. Tune in. We're everywhere. There's no excuse for you not to be subscribed and listening to the podcast. 100%. It's free. Subscribe. Hit the notification bell. Give me a follow. Comment. I'll respond. I respond on TikTok as well, so give me your best shot. So, guys, it's 7:30 right now. Eagles and Bucks start in about an hour. Still got to make dinner. So that's it. Guys, thanks for watching. We'll catch you next week.